Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are immersing ourselves in a growth story that's really a modern blueprint for digital finance, but not in Silicon Valley. We're talking Central Asia.
That's right.
We are unpacking the incredible acceleration of TBC Uzbekistan. I mean, this company has fundamentally reshaped the nation's economic identity in, what, less than 5 years?
It really is a phenomenal case study. Yeah. The speed, the scale, you just look at one key data point. 5 years.
Yeah.
From launch to serving 22 million unique registered users.
22 million.
Yeah. That's more than half of Uzbekistan's entire population digitally connected through their platform. And they've built a loan book that's now getting close to $1 billion.
Wow. Okay. $1 billion, half the country's digital financial life in just 60 months.
Mm.
That's exactly why we're here today.
Mm.
Our mission is to unpack that whole playbook, you know, from the progressive regulatory environment that made it possible to the smart M&A, the AI investment, everything that let TBC Uzbekistan become one of the fastest growing digital banking ecosystems anywhere.
Quite the story.
Okay, let's get into it then, starting with the big picture, the macro lens. Why Uzbekistan? What made it such fertile ground for this kind of hyper growth?
Well, it really comes down to a kind of perfect storm of demographics and decisive policy. You got Uzbekistan with a large young population, 38 million people.
Right.
And critically, a government that's really committed to a clear path of economic reform. GDP growth is running around 6%. And it's not just organic growth. It's underpinned by policy choices, big ones, prioritizing digitalization.
And the sources we looked at really hammer this point home. The regulation wasn't just passive. It didn't just allow fintech. It seems like it actively designed an architecture for massive rapid scaling.
Absolutely. The regulator took a very progressive, you could say, tech-savvy stance. They created one of the most advanced open banking systems globally.
Okay, let's pause there. For listeners who might not track every financial regulation detail, what does open banking actually mean in practice? Why does it matter so much here?
It matters hugely. Basically, open banking means banks have to share customer financial data securely in a standardized way, but only with regulated third parties and only with customer consent, of course.
So how does that help a company trying to launch fast, like TBC?
It radically shortens the time needed to build customer trust and, crucially, to assess credit risk. If you can securely, instantly access a customer's spending history from their existing bank.
Ah, you can underwrite loans much faster.
Exactly. And onboard users way more efficiently. So this infrastructure, plus a business-friendly environment, plus a rapidly digitizing infrastructure overall, it basically let companies like TBC leapfrog years of traditional branch building.
It sounds like the country didn't just offer a market. It provided the kind of operating system needed for that speed.
That's a good way to put it.
And this wasn't just about importing a foreign model, was it? The sources talk a lot about the made in Uzbekistan angle.
Precisely. The policy fostered a really competitive environment. It leveraged a strong local talent pool, a budding startup ecosystem. It reinforced this idea that high-quality, scalable digital finance could be built and run domestically.
Mm.
This market was just ripe for established players who had both the capital and the fintech expertise to come in and execute quickly.
Which brings us neatly to TBC Bank Group itself. Because this isn't some risky startup, right? This is a London-listed FTSE 250 company. Serious credibility.
That credibility is absolutely fundamental here. TBC Bank Group, TBCG, they have a proven track record. Posted around $500 million in net profit just in 2024.
Okay.
But the real strategic insight, they'd already perfected this deep penetration model back home in Georgia. They already had over 50% of the entire Georgian population banking with them.
Wow. So they weren't coming to Uzbekistan to experiment?
No, not at all. They came to execute a proven high-scale model. They knew the playbook.
So they arrived with this refined playbook. Let's unpack that. What were the exact steps they took, the sequence to unlock this growth, and why that specific order?
It was very deliberate, calculated to minimize risk while maximizing speed. Step one, acquire a controlling stake in Payme.
Payme, the payment app.
Exactly. This was brilliant. They didn't just buy users. They instantly got an established payment infrastructure. And, crucially, immediate market data on consumer spending habits.
So they skipped years of building that themselves.
Bypassed it completely. Step two, secure a full banking license. Step three, launch TBC UZ Bank.
Okay, that's the entry strategy. What about the product side? You mentioned they started with deposits, but then moved into lending almost right away. Isn't that jumping into the deep end? Lending is often called the most difficult financial vertical. Seems risky at that speed and scale.
Oh, it absolutely is high risk, which is why the sequencing was so important. They started with deposits, transfers the basics, build trust, establish that transactional relationship. Then, once the infrastructure was solid and the data access from Payne was flowing, they moved into lending. Lending's tough because, yeah, risk management is complex. But if they could crack lending using all that data from Payne and their own platform, that's where the high margin, sticky revenue is. That's what defines successful digital banks. They tackle the hard part head on, but only after laying that data foundation.
And the execution since then, it's been pretty phenomenal. Well, let's talk numbers because this is where the speed and efficiency really hit home. 5 years in, the scale metrics are just explosive.
They really are unprecedented in pace. We mentioned the 22 million unique users. But look at the balance sheet growth. That loan book approaching $1 billion, deposits around $500 million. And crucially, both are showing consistent 2x year-over-year growth. That tells you it's sustained, accelerating adoption, not just a one-off jump.
But rapid growth like that often tanks profitability, doesn't it? Yet TBC managed to turn a serious profit almost immediately. That's rare for digital-first banks globally.
That's the efficiency metric that really makes investors sit up and take notice. For 2024, yeah, gross revenues of $260 million, net profit of $41 million.
41 million profit.
But the number that should just stop you in your tracks is the time to profitability. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. It's cited as basically a record time to profit among global digital banks. Their operational model, leveraging Payme, the new tech stack, it let them scale efficiently instead of just burning cash like so many others.
That timeline is genuinely astonishing. I mean, the industry average for getting into the black is way, way longer than 2 years. It really speaks to the operational quality. But how did they manage credit quality with the loan book doubling every year? Was there a specific mechanism stabilizing that risk?
Yeah, that stability comes back to their core asset, data, and the AI models they built on top of it. You simply can't manually review loan applications at that speed.
Right, impossible.
So the ability to pull data through that advanced open banking system, combine it with their own proprietary transaction data from Payme, feed all of that into automated credit scoring models. That's the mechanism. That's what allows high-speed, high-quality lending. It's a purely data-driven risk environment.
Okay, and this is where it gets really strategic, right? The ecosystem. How do you keep 22 million people engaged? It can't just be about a basic bank account. It's making the bank part of everyday life.
Exactly. It's about building this complex ecosystem that draws users in and keeps them cycling through different services. That's the flywheel logic people talk about.
So what does that look like on the consumer side?
It's a whole suite of things beyond just payments. Personal financial management tools, cashback rewards, gamification elements, buy now, pay later, point of sale loans, cash loans, specialized things like their Osmon credit card.
And they even folded in lifestyle and admin services. That must create some serious stickiness.
Absolutely. They integrated services like insurance and even government technology, allowing users to handle administrative payments, government tasks, right there in the banking app.
Okay, so the bank becomes more like a necessary hub for life admin, not just managing money.
Precisely. And then they built a parallel ecosystem for business customers too, to reinforce that whole loop.
Makes sense. What does that include?
Things like working capital loans, payroll management, QR and e-commerce payments, business financial management tools. It all feeds into this core flywheel idea based on user actions. Spend, save, fund, transfer, sell, engage, manage. Every action a user takes creates more data, which lets the bank serve the next action better, offer more relevant products. It's a virtuous cycle.
This systematic deepening of the relationship is clearly key, and they're not stopping. You mentioned they plan to accelerate this flywheel further through M&A.
That's right. The sources mentioned two value-accretive M&A moves planned for summer 2025. It signals they're moving from just capturing the market to really dominating it, using acquisitions to instantly broaden the ecosystem and lock in those customer relationships even tighter.
Okay, this momentum, this complexity, it brings us to the future and this massive commitment they have to becoming an AI-powered bank. We hear AI buzzwords all the time in fintech, but TBC Uzbekistan seems to be putting serious money and proprietary tech behind it.
They really are. It's cited as one of the largest AI investments in Central Asia. And crucially, they didn't just buy off-the-shelf stuff. They built their own proprietary AI stack, specifically integrating speech tech and large language models, LLMs.
Let's dig into that for a second. Why build your own stack? Isn't it faster, maybe cheaper, just to license APIs from the big global players?
It is faster and cheaper initially to license, yeah. But building your own gives you ultimate control over customization, data security, and crucially, the speed of future innovation. By focusing on LLMs, think of those as the engines behind tools like ChatGPT, but trained specifically for finance and speech tech. They're building what they apparently call the ChatGPT of banking internally. They're optimizing it for the local language, the local financial context, the local regulations, stuff. A generic global API just can't match perfectly.
And what's the tangible impact of this proprietary stack already? Is it delivering?
The sources say yes, definitely. It's already driving revenue and huge efficiencies. There's this slightly cryptic metric mentioned, 90% plus 100K, meaning 90% of basic customer service queries are now handled autonomously by AI, which leads to an estimated saving of 100,000 human operator hours every year. That's efficiency feeding directly into that high profitability we talked about earlier.
Got it. And the next big step is this AI voice assistant they're launching. That sounds like a potential game changer. Voice first, hyper-personal experience.
This could be really revolutionary. The AI voice assistant aims to move the bank from just being reactive. You ask for your balance to being proactive.
How so? Give me an example.
Well, imagine asking the app, "Hey, I want to save 20% more next month. Where should I cut back?" The AI could instantly analyze your spending, suggest changes, maybe even move funds proactively if you allow it, offer relevant savings products.
Okay, that's different.
They also talk about real-time, one-minute loan application reviews, entirely driven by AI.
So the goal isn't just faster transactions. It's automated, personalized financial guidance, using AI to drive decisions across product, pricing, risk, even customer retention. That capability must be the foundation for their regional ambitions then.
Absolutely. The stated goal is clearly building a regional powerhouse from Uzbekistan. This success story is already putting Uzbekistan on the global fintech map. I mean, the parent group being the first and only company from Uzbekistan and Central Asia on the FTSE 250.
That's a huge signal.
It generates serious global attention. It signals they're ready to scale this perfected model into neighboring markets, maybe Kazakhstan, perhaps the Caucasus.
Okay, so let's put on our investor lens for a moment. Beyond just the incredible speed of growth, what makes this TBC model so attractive to global capital?
I think it's a convergence of maybe three key things. First, you got a world-class team executing a playbook that's already deeply validated in Georgia. Less execution risk. Second, they have this purpose-built, proprietary, scalable tech stack with that significant AI investment underpinning it. That's a real moat. And third, critically, they operate in an environment with regulatory clarity and a supportive ecosystem that actually de-risks market entry and ensures fair competition. That combination, it's extremely rare in emerging markets.
But let's play devil's advocate. If we're looking at it skeptically, what are the main risks investors need to keep an eye on here?
Well, the primary risk, like with any financial company growing this fast, revolves around credit quality. The AI models seem robust now, but when your loan book is doubling year on year, investors have to continuously monitor that the risk management systems are keeping pace, that they're not taking on too much bad debt in the rush or getting too concentrated in one area. That vigilance is absolutely essential for long-term value.
That's a crucial point, but the ultimate takeaway here feels bigger, maybe more symbolic even.
I think it is. TBC Uzbekistan's success really confirms Uzbekistan's whole economic trajectory. It proves the country isn't just importing global fintech ideas. It's capable of executing and, frankly, exporting domestic financial credibility onto a global stage. They've used policy, tech, and scale to become a major economic story in Central Asia.
It really is an incredible story. Speed, scale, strategic focus, a 5-year journey from launch to becoming one of the largest and most profitable digital banking ecosystems in the region.
And the management team, according to the sources, had a perfect way to summarize the future potential of this whole enterprise. Just one final thought.
And what was that thought?
And we're both just getting started.
A perfect note to end on suggests the real competitive phase is maybe still ahead. This has been The Deep Dive, helping you see the world through an investor's lens.